Praise God. I want us to get our Bibles turned to the book of John, chapter number 4. Amen. John, chapter number 4. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to begin reading at verse number 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Amen. And I'm just going to simply preach to you what's on my heart tonight and what I feel is on the heartbeat of God. What is the heartbeat of God? Amen. As I was praying the other day about some things and meditating on it and praying, spending time upon it, I felt the Lord give me this thought. Amen. The title that I'm going to use tonight, I felt the Lord impress it upon me. And I accepted it. I accepted it. And I am excited. Praise God. Tonight, I'm just going to preach to you. Don't forget the fields. Amen. Don't forget the fields. He said, you have asked, are there yet 4 months and then come harvest? He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and already to harvest. Amen. Don't forget the fields. Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate you. We can't do anything without you, dear God. But if you would help us, anoint us, and inspire us, God, not just me, but every individual that is in this place. God, inspire us, O Lord Jesus. Cause that flame of excitement, God, to go down inside of our hearts and to ignite the timber that is there, the tinder that is there, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to do your work here tonight. And we will be so quick to give you the glory and the honor and the praise today. In the wonderful and lovely name of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated today.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The harvest is and has always been the focal point of the Master. From the beginning of time, when he began to inspire and began to make the laws of the land, it was all about the harvest. It was not about what was going on at the time, but the harvest. And you must understand, and we must all basically draw the foregone conclusion that if there is no sowing, if we are not sowing, then there is not going to be a harvest. Amen. So when we talk about the harvest, it's just imperative, or it's just it's not the word insinuate. It's when we talk, it's just the given thing. When we talk about the harvest, it's just the given thing that there is also sowing. Because there is a law of sowing and reaping. And if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. As a matter of fact, Paul told the church, he said that he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Amen. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, Let me just go ahead and throw this in here because, amen, you would be disappointed if I didn't. And that is, when you read the further voice, read the further verse of that, he is talking on a monetary wise. When he begins to tell them, amen, that God loves a cheerful giver. Praise God. And I am all about the kingdom of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, I am probably more focused and more about the kingdom of God and the harvest of God. I want to say this delicately, but probably more than I've ever been before. I am excited about the times and the days that we are living in. I am. I'm excited about them. I know that there is a lot of trepidation about them, that there is a lot of fear, that there is a lot of worry, that there is a lot of stress about them. I understand that is just the component that the devil has used to try to wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. And has tried to get us distracted. And with that in mind, I have been distracted. I have been praying about different things and dilemmas and situations and things, and in praying all of these things and such. And I'm not going to divulge that to you, but praying about it, I just felt the Lord just kind of quickly rebuke me or chastise me or whatever, and he said, don't forget the fields. Don't forget the fields. And so I took that to understand, amen, that there is a field out there that is ready for the harvest. And I believe that we are going to have to still continue to sow. I believe in sowing until Jesus comes. Amen. As a matter of fact, I want to plant a little seed the day the rapture takes place. Amen. Just so that I know, and just so that God knows that I'm still about His kingdom and His business. Amen. I don't ever want to forsake the law of sowing. Amen. Because we don't ever know when that last day is going to be. Amen. Abraham Lincoln made a statement one time, and he said to work as if you were going to live to be 100, and to pray as if you were going to die tomorrow. Amen. And so that's kind of the mindset that I want to take into the rest of life. And that is that I don't know when the end is coming, but my times are in His hands. And so I'm going to just sow like if I was going to live to be 90 years of age or older. Amen. But at the same time, there is a field that is ready for the harvest. Praise God. And so with the fear of the end times and the looming of the mark of the beast perceivably on the horizon out there and possibly the government shaping lives to control lives and whatnot and such. And I believe that they are doing that to a large or to any type of degree. But these things must come to pass. It's what we do with these things and how that we respond to these things that's going to make a difference. You say, well, Pastor, how can we make a difference? Amen. You're not going to stop the mark of the beast. You're not going to stop the false prophet from coming upon the face of the earth. You're not going to stop the time clock, amen, of eternity from rolling on past. Amen. But the thing that you do, that you can do, is make a difference in somebody's life. You can prepare them for eternity. Amen. We are called to be ambassadors, and the ministry of reconciliation has been committed unto us. Amen. If God just wanted to save your soul, then honey, He would have saved your soul and let you kick the bucket. But the fact that you are here today means there's another life that you can affect. There's another destiny that you can change. It doesn't matter how big or how small you are. It doesn't matter what potential you have. It's not our potential. It's God's potential. It's not our ability. It's God's ability. It's not our ability, but our availability unto God's ability.
Hallelujah. And we may be living in perilous times, but the fact that we are living in perilous times, being the end times, simply means that there is a revival to have. Amen. It means that there is a gleaning of the harvest. Amen. That there are souls that are ready to be saved. I believe that there are people on the outside of this church that are just afraid, and if not more afraid than some of you that sit upon the pews here today. And I don't want you to be afraid. Amen. Fear not, little flock. Hallelujah. Amen. Great is your heavenly Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Amen. But there are those that are out there that are wringing their hands and that are saying, what can I do? What should I do? They don't understand the times and the seasons that are upon us. They don't understand, amen, the rolling of biblical prophecies as they come to pass. They need an answer. They need somebody. They need the church. They need you. You are the answer. You are the way. You've got the power to give them an eternal destinative change.
Praise God. You can be seated. And so the harvest was always about the mind of God, understanding that with no sowing, there is no harvest. But yet when he began to talk about the laws of the land, he told them that for 6 years they were to plant. But on the seventh, now every year they're going to harvest too. But on the seventh year, they are to allow the land to lay dormant, to rest. Why? Because it is going to retain or to regain the nutrients that is needed to produce the bountiful harvest. It's about the harvest. It's not necessarily about the sowing. And I'm gonna bring this about here in a little bit, but you must sow. You must sow. But the lesson here is that if you sow on year 1 through 6, you are going to reap on year 1 through 6. But that pretty much is going to be the breaking tide. That in year 7, if you were to sow the same amount that you're sowing year 1 through 6, in year 7, you're not going to harvest as much as you did in year 1, 2, or 3. Amen. But you give it a rest, and then you come back on year 8, and you begin to plant again, and the harvest is lush and full and is productive through that. And so God established the law of the seventh year of rest unto the people. Why? Because the harvest was in his mind. Because there was a need for the harvest. Oh, Jesus. There was a purpose for the harvest. And that purpose can be very, man, I'm going to sue my mind. It's left me tonight. Hallelujah. But that purpose can be very easy to understand or to comprehend, because you think to yourself, well, if I sow and I don't harvest anything, then I don't eat. And so it is imperative that you sow the seed. And in sowing the seed, there is the law of sowing and reaping, that whatsoever you sow, that also shall a man reap. And so if I sow wheat, then there's going to come a time that I'm going to be able to harvest the wheat. Amen. So if I sow wheat, and Brother Worth sows soybeans, and Brother Joshua sows some cotton, and Brother Micah, amen, sows some corn, and all of these things, then we can all harvest in the time. And when we are brothers, then I'm going to get some corn and some soybeans and some cotton. But you're also going to get some wheat, because that's just the way that it works. And that is one of the reasons that God had the harvest in mind. And that in year 7, if you sow, you're not going to reap as much. And so you're not going to be able to eat as much. And so there was that harvest. And
And there was the production of the sixth year to double, to put food in the barns for the seventh year. But that was not the only reason that God had the harvest in mind. In the book of Leviticus chapter number 19 and verse number 9, he said that when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, and thou shalt not gather the gleanings of the harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Amen. What he was saying is that when you're out there and you're harvesting the field, make sure, don't make sure that you get every little crook and cranny, and that you get every little corner. As a matter of fact, he said, when you're gleaning and harvesting, you leave the corners alone. Amen. Just get something really quick, what you can get, and leave those alone. He said that when you are gleaning in the vineyards, that you are not to glean them completely, and neither shall thou gather every grape. When you're in there and you're gathering grapes, amen, don't sit there meticulously looking and feathering through the little leaves that's there and trying to find that one last grape. He said, just get it, pick it, and go. I'm going to come back to here in just a minute. He redundantly stated it in Deuteronomy 24 and 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field and hast forgotten a sheaf in the field, do not go again to fetch it. What he is saying is when you go into the field and you load your basket up or you load your wagon up, and in the process of going through the field and getting out of that bumpy field, and some begins to fall off because you've had an abundance of harvest, he said, don't take your empty wagon back through there and pick it up and put it back and take everything that is in there. He said that when you have thrashed the olive tree, amen, and caused the olives to fall down, and you glean everything from it, and you look and you see more olives up there, he said, don't thrash it again. He said, when you're going through the grape vineyards and you pick things and your basket is full, just be thankful and don't sit there and nitpick and look for every little one that is there. He said, because there is a purpose for the harvest. In Leviticus 9, he said, amen, concerning the gleanings and the corners of the field and the harvest and the vineyards and the grape yard, he said, thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. In Deuteronomy 24, he said, amen, don't go fetch it again, for it is for the stranger, it is for the fatherless, and for the widow. Amen, that the Lord God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Don't go over the boughs again, because they are for, amen, the fatherless. They are for the stranger. And they are for the widows. Amen. Don't go through the grape yards and the vineyards again to glean afterwards. For they are for the stranger, the fatherless, and for the widow. God said, I'm going to take the harvest. I'm going to put my hand upon it. I'm going to bless it. And it's going to provide for you. It's going to provide for the stranger that didn't sow. It's going to provide for the fatherless who didn't have a dad to sow. And it's going to provide for the widow who didn't have a husband to sow. I'm going to take care of every one of them. He even said that he was going to take care of the birds of the field, the fowls of the air. Amen. He said, consider not the lilies, how that they toil or grow. And he's talked about the sparrows. Amen. That he knows when they fall. And yet he provides for every one of them. How does he provide? Through the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, the harvest was important. important unto God. But not only important to God, we see through Bible times that the harvest was important to each and every one that had sown. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse number 11 was a man by the name of Shammah. And the Bible said that the ground that he was upon was full of lentils. It wasn't the leftovers. It wasn't the corners of the field. It wasn't the things that was tucked under her had fallen off the wagon. Amen. The entire hill was full of lentils. Everybody else didn't think too much of the harvest. Nobody else was thinking about what they were going to eat in the cold winter months until the harvest came again. Everybody turned and ran. But the Bible teaches us that Shammah thought, this harvest is worth fighting for. I cannot give this harvest up. I cannot wait, amen, for next year's harvest. I have to have this harvest. I gotta have this harvest. I gotta have this harvest. What was Gideon doing at the wine press? Amen. The preacher preached to us the other night about Gideon. Instead of being out in the open so that the wind could blow away the chaff, he was down in the wine press threshing wheat, picking out the chaff and separating the wheat, hiding from who? The enemy, the Midianites. And they would come around every year at about the time of harvest, and they would destroy everything, and they would take what they wanted and leave them just enough that they would not perish, that next year there would be another harvest, because they was going to come destroy that one as well. But leave them just enough that they had just a little hope that maybe the next year the Midianites won't come, that they would have just a little bit of faith that maybe next year they would be able to glean the entire field. Leave them just a little bit of hope, just a little bit of desire, just a little bit of life, but that would be it. Amen. And so the angel came and spoke to Gideon and said, "A mighty man of valor." We know the story. Amen. But what was Gideon saying? Amen. This is what I have to do. I've got to protect the little of which I have. But the angel brought the mind of God down that day, and he said, "Gideon, it's not the will of God to just survive. It's not the will of God to just get by. It's not the will of God to just scrape by and not, amen, become something fruitful. It is the will of God that whatsoever you sow, you shall reap." Oh, let's give the Lord some praise here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And with that said, we can also see on the other side of these stories that there is an enemy that is set to destroy the harvest. God thinks it's important. Some of us think that it's important. And the enemy knows it's important, because the enemy knows that if you're gleaning of the harvest, then you can partake of it and your bones can become fat, and your strength can become renewed, and you would be stronger than him. And so he's got to destroy your hope. He's got to destroy your dream. He's got to destroy, amen, your vision. He's got to destroy all of this. And so we see that in every harvest, there always seems to be some type of opposition. I have traveled down the many miles of highways when the cotton season would come, and the fields were white like unto snow, and the rains would come before the farmers could get in there and bale that cotton out there, and their fields would be full of water, and there would be no way to get into it. Wheat of the same size, and it would be destroyed. It would rot and it would ruin because that they weren't able to get into the harvest. Amen. Some storm, something transpired and kept them from the harvest or destroyed the harvest. Amen. The Bible even teaches us in the book of Joshua, chapter number 3 and 15, that the Jordan River overflowed her banks every year at the time of harvest. Hallelujah. Every year when they were getting ready to go harvest, here come that Jordan River overflowing its banks. Amen. It seemed like such a blessing. Amen. But really what it did, it may have blessed today, but it destroyed tomorrow. It destroyed tomorrow. It destroyed, amen, fulfillment in the cold winter months. It would be bare pickings, amen, then, amen, in those months. And so here, the Philistines attacking Shammah. And Shammah knows, I need this harvest. But the enemy also knows, he needs this harvest. And I've got to destroy it. I've got to steal it from him. I've got to strike fear in their hearts that nobody sticks around. But one man was dumb enough, or one man was smart enough, amen, to stick there and to protect the harvest for that year. Amen. Gideon, what are you doing? The Midianites have come in time and time and time again. Don't you get the picture that this is just going to happen? Why do you have to plant in abundance? Why can't you just give up? Why can't you just move off? Why can't you just disappear and go somewhere else? Amen. But Gideon would not. Amen. Gideon stood. Amen. And God used Gideon, even though the enemy came in year after year to destroy the harvest. Amen. The enemy is going to do everything that he can to destroy the harvest, amen, that has been planted. Hallelujah. There's been a lot of planning that's been going on around here. There's been a lot of sowing that's been going on around here for the last, amen, two or three decades of time. Amen, putting into the ground, cultivating the soil. Amen, got a harvest, a little bit of harvest here and a little bit of harvest there. And sometimes it feels like Midian, amen, or Gideon, that you get a little harvest here and the devil destroys. And you get a little harvest here and the devil destroys. Pray a few through here, amen, and a few over here, amen, backslide, walk away and leave. Amen. It just seems like you just can't ever get ahead because the enemy knows the power that the church will have if it ever connects on the treadmill of revival. The devil knows that the church, he cannot afford to allow the church to gain momentum. He's afraid of seeing people pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've got it tracked on my computer from the day that I got here. Amen. We've got 5 or 6. Amen. If you count Nathan the other night, we've got 7 that have prayed through to the Holy Ghost since I have been here. Are they all here? No. But there is a 75% attrition rate. But there is a 25%, amen, rate of gain through it all as well. Hallelujah. Brother Wesley is still here. Sister Kenda is still here. Brother Joshua is still here. Amen. And others are still going to be here. You can look at those that are not here and you can be fearful like Gideon. I'm just telling you, that's the day and the age that we're living in. But somebody still wants to live for God. Somebody still wants to take a stand. Somebody still wants to be saved. Not everybody wants to go to hell. Hallelujah. And the devil knows that he has but a short time. What does that equate to? The devil knows that the fields are white. The devil knows that they are ready for harvest. He just wants to keep us from not seeing the harvest. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to hurry quickly and be done. Luke chapter number 2. Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? Woo, Jesus. He said, I got to be about the Father's business. What was his business? He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I've got a job. I got to seek somebody that's lost. The Pharisees don't need a physician, so I'm going to somebody else. I'm going to the broken. Amen. Jesus was saying, if those that are well don't need a physician, there's a whole lot of hurting that do need a physician. And I am the great physician. So I'm not going to bother myself with the Pharisees. I'm going to go unto the highways, unto the byways, unto the broken, unto the maimed, unto the destitute. And I'm going to find somebody that needs a touch. We got to be about the Father's business. We got to be about our Father's business. His business was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's got to be our business. We need to find somebody. We need to find somebody and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Amen. In the book of Mark chapter number 16, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. The gospel equates to the good news. That's what it is. It's the good news. You've got good news to tell somebody. And they probably don't have good news for you. This world is full of bad news. I'd say all you got to do is turn your television on, but you don't have a television. And if you do, you need to get rid of that television. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the world is full of bad news. You can't peruse the internet without being inundated by the bad news. You can't pick up a newspaper without being overwhelmed by the bad news. It's bad news here. It's bad news at the job. It's bad news in the paper. Bad news in Kansas. Bad news in the United States. Bad news in the world. Amen. But Jesus said, go and preach the good news unto every creature. What are we telling them? What are we telling them? Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you what you tell them. Hey man, you don't have to be lost. You do not have to go to hell. There is a Savior that came and bled and died so that you could have life everlasting. You don't have to remain alone and destined and destitute without God in this world. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost and God will live inside of you. No matter what your family is like, you're not bound to be just like them. God will make you a new creature. No matter what you've done, there is hope in your life through Jesus Christ. No matter what you're bound by, Jesus Christ can set you free. And the good news is Acts 2:38. It's the only message that completely delivers and sets men free and places the Spirit of the living God down inside of them to lead them into all truth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Praise God. Praise God. What a message! What a message! And I just want you to don't forget the fields. I want you to look out on the fields. And you're going to see a field full of hurting people. A field full of bound people. A field full of fearful people. And you have got the answer. You have got, amen, what they need to hear. And the devil knows this. The devil knows this. Ah, yes, the devil knows this. And you know what? He cannot combat it. No, he cannot combat it. How does he take away the facts out of your life? How can he take away your testimony of what God delivered you from, of what God set you free from, of how God brought you out, of how God raised you up? He cannot take away your testimony. He does not have the power to diminish the splendor of the gospel. He cannot diminish the power of the gospel. And even though that he has been unsuccessful for 2 millenniums, amen, this does not mean that all of a sudden he's just going to give up. And so what is he going to do? He can't destroy the power of the gospel. He can't diminish your testimony. But he can get us to stop focusing on the fields. And there's numerous ways that he can do that. You're going to help me here for just a few more minutes of time. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the devil's most powerful weapon when it comes to the church, is if he can get the church stirred up within itself. If the church will become stirred up within itself, then he can stand back and let the church implode. He doesn't even have to do anything if he can get the church, amen, stirred up among themselves, brother against brother, sister against sister. And in the whole process of all of this, amen, the wheat begins to rot. Because it's already ripe. It's already ready unto harvest. And so I submit to this church, amen, let's not fall into the snares of the devil. Let's not stoop down to his battle. Let's not go down to his under his playing field. Let's be an encouragement one to another. Let's lift one another up. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's help one another. You who are spiritual, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. When you see somebody down and out, lift them up. When you hear of somebody sick, pray for them and let them know that you're praying for them. Amen. When dissension tries to come, just stop it and say, hey, this is about revival. This is about revival. Why? It's your harvest. It's your harvest. It's your harvest. You've got nieces and nephews. You've got grandmas and grandpas. You've got moms and dads. You've got brothers and sisters that need the Holy Ghost. You've got those friends and family and co-workers that need the Holy Ghost. I don't have time to fight. Amen, my brother and my sister. I've got to keep my vision on the field. I've got parents. I've got friends that need the Holy Ghost. I've got to focus on the field. Let's stand and love the Lord today. Shama, this is your harvest. Gideon, this is your harvest. You can check out if you want to. Oh yeah, you can check out. But you're going to lose your harvest. You're going to lose your harvest. Could it be that if you would just do as God tells us to do, spread the good news. Spread the good news. That all of a sudden your phone's going to ring. And you're going to look at the caller ID and you're going to think, now what is she calling me for? And all of a sudden that friend or that family member on the other line, when you say hello, they say, I need help. What's going on? I'm concerned.
I'm worried about everything that's going on.
Well, you don't have to be worried about it.
Well, that's why I'm calling you.
I am. I'm worried about it.
Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus can help you.
Jesus, there's no fear in perfect love. For perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen. You need the love of God. You need to come to church with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you another parable, or let me tell you another story that I didn't have time to put into my notes. Jesus told him, he said, go and invite all of my friends and all of those other ones to come to the banquet. And they went out to invite, and they came back and they said, everybody had excuses. We've all been there. Well, I just got married, and I just bought some oxen, and I just bought some land, and I can't go because of this, and I can't do because of that and stuff. I'd love to do it, but I can't. And they came back. And so what did Jesus say? It is my will. Now this is the master, not necessarily Jesus, but the master when he was telling the parable. The master said it like this: it is my will that this house be full. I'm not taking excuses. I don't want excuses. If they don't want to come, it does not change my will. My will is that this house be full. Master, what are we to do? He said, you go into the highways and to the byways and you compel them all to come. I don't care about their social status. I don't care about their monetary status. I don't care about anything. I just want the house to be full. And if the doctors and the lawyers and all the realtors and the famous and the well-off, if they don't want to come, there's some homeless, there's some snotty-nosed child, there's some dirty people somewhere or another. You're not going to catch fish sitting around a nice, cool swimming pool. You catch fish at the dirty lake or the streams or the dirty rivers. If you're going to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are. Unless you're like somebody from Louisiana and make your swimming pool into a stock tank. But even then, it's dirty. But you're probably going to have to get your hands a little dirty. But I'm telling you, it doesn't change the will of God. The will of God is that the house be full. And if there are those that don't want to come to church, if there are those that don't want to be, amen, a part of the church, somebody does. You know how I know? Because the fields are white unto harvest. That's what Jesus said. The fields are white unto harvest. Woo! I feel excitement. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I am telling you, in the Holy Ghost, the fields are white unto harvest. Later on, he said, it's the laborers that are few. But you know what? I'm looking around here and I'm seeing more than just a few. So how about we all start harvesting? Let's all find somebody. Let's all find somebody. Let's all tell somebody about the church. The good news. The good news. The good news. Chris, you're around people every day. All day. You talk to everybody. Tell them the good news. Tell them there's a church. They need to come. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're all around people. Some of us more than others, but we're around people. Woo. You know why we're not around people? Because we don't choose to be around people. We choose to not be around people. I'll just go through the self-checkout. Oh, yeah. It's true. Yeah, it is true, Chris. It is. It's true. I'll just go through the self-checkout. I don't have to deal with the checker. I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to wait. Well, if you're waiting, you might be able to talk to somebody in line. I don't have time. I'm in a hurry. I got to go. I don't think that excuse is going to work with God. Praise God. I'm just telling you right now, I've had this conversation this week and we've already talked about it, but if you don't want to be around anybody, you don't have to be around anybody. Zero. I don't even have to go to Wendy's. I can just call DoorDash. And they go and they get my order and they're around people and they come and they drop it off at my door. And I just pick it up. They'll bring your groceries to you. Back when the COVID thing was flaring and hot, we'd get online, we'd order all of our groceries. We go pull up at Safeway grocery store in Texas. It says, text this number to this number when you arrive. You text it. Paul comes up. And you just wait. You sit in your car. You just wait. Finally, somebody comes out pushing your groceries to you. They tap on the back of your window. You lift the hatch or the trunk. They put it all in there for you. They don't want you to get out. They put it all in there for you. Have a nice day. Shut it. You don't have to deal with anybody if you don't want to deal with anybody. And the field will rot. The field will rot. He said, go into the highways and byways and compel them. Compel them. You've got to come to church. You need God. Take advantage of their bad news situation. Hardly anybody has good news. Take advantage of it. You do. You've got good news. Give them some good news. And let's watch God fill the church up. Because that's His will. It's His will that this house be full. It's His will. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to witness. I'm going to teach home Bible study. I'm going to knock doors. Hallelujah. Going to do whatever I can. Amen. But the field is ready for harvest. And so here I am praying over spilt milk. And God says, don't forget the fields. Don't forget the fields. Every one of us have stuff in our life that can eat up our time in worrying, praying. Jesus says, don't forget the field. Don't forget the field. Don't forget the field. And that's what I'm telling this church here tonight. Don't forget the field. Don't forget the field. Every day you've got an opportunity. Don't forget the field. Don't forget the field. Don't forget the field. And so I prayed and I said, God, I think we've got some potential here. The Lord said, it's not about your potential. It's not about your potential. It's my will. It's my will. I want it to be full. Noah had never built an ark. He didn't have a resume that was a carpenter. God, I've never built an ark. I don't know how to do it. It's not about your potential. It's not about your ability. It's about my will. If you will make yourself available, I'll make it happen. Oh, yeah. Man, I feel good tonight. Let me tell you another one. Let me tell you another one, and then I'm going to let you go. 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. We know the story. 10 talents. Was it 10 talents? And he produced? No, it was 5 talents. He produced 10. 5 produced 10. 3 produced 6. 2. But the 1 didn't produce any. And what did he say? He said, Lord, I know that you are a hard man and you reap from fields that you did not sow in. You glean from things that you did not sow. And you know what the master said? You're absolutely 100% correct. I do. I reap from fields that I do not sow in. I glean from fields that I did not sow in. You are right. You know what that tells me? I may pass out 20 church cards and none of them come. But somebody else is going to come. Because God just says, just sow. Just sow. Just sow. Just sow. You may not hit the corners totally perfectly, just like you did the rest of the field. But God said, that over there is going to be for the fatherless, for the stranger, for the widow and stuff. I'll multiply it. It's going to be sufficient. God said, just sow. Just sow. And when you sow, it's going to take care of every need. It's going to take care of the stranger. It's going to take care of the fatherless. It's going to take care of the widow. It's going to take time. He is going to glean from fields that he did not sow in. I cannot tell you. One day in Texas, we went out on door knocking and we knocked doors. We had another church come in and helped us. And we went through the town, through some big quite a few neighborhoods. And we knocked hundreds of doors. We knocked and left flyers and all that other stuff. And the next day, I don't know that there was anybody that came. I do remember one lady that came because we knocked on her door. She was actually a backslider. Amen. But you know what? Other people started showing up. So did you get your door knocked on? No. I was just driving by. Just saw. I was just online. Just saw. Just God knows how and he knows what he's doing. Don't forget the field. Let's lift our hand and love him today. Come on, let's make this personal. Let's make this personal today. Hallelujah. Come on, let's make it personal. God, lead me to somebody that I can win. God, and there may be somebody, there may be one individual, 2 or 3 or 5 or a dozen individuals that I can really focus on.